Tigers MS, you have some affinity with what's going up in Newcastle. What, how do you make it or make of it?
Well, I think, for the Newcastle thing with the Tinkler takeover or buyout, there was an assurance that the club would be given back if Tinkler couldn't no longer afford it.
Yeah.
So that would go straight back to the previous owners, which I think might have been Newcastle Wests, or
yeah.
I'm not sure who owned, in inverted commas, the Knights before that. But I think for it's kind of a bit of a lesson, perhaps, for any other team that is going to be privately owned, that they have to have that kind of thing written into a contract, with the person buying a club saying, if you go bust, you can't just sell us off to, you know, to anyone. It has to go through the club's members to a vote, etc., stuff like that. I do think Tinkler will be okay. I think he was making a lot of money about 2 years ago, like probably couldn't stop making money, and then and then it's dried up a little bit just through natural attrition and things like that. So I think he'll be fine. I think more stuff will go before things like the Knights go. He did want to get rid of the Jets earlier in the season, and I think those two, like having two sporting clubs and both of them wouldn't go, I don't think they'd go close to making their money back. So it's probably draining him a fair bit. But I would rather see a team owned privately than a team fault.
Well, it's two thoughts that come to mind. One is, I'll read this first of all, about how bad Nathan Tinkler's situation is. So I know that you've suggested he'll be okay. Well, I'm not so sure. Apparently, Hunter Sports Group, which owns Newcastle Knights, are behind on players' super and salaries for office staff. The Tinkler Group Holdings even didn't pay one of the country's biggest law firms, Gilbert and Tobin, and therefore, apparently, reportedly, his private jet is under a repossession order.
Now, I hope that happens.
Yeah.
Oh, terrible, isn't it? Terrible state of affairs.
Not again. So, look, obviously he's got a lot of wealth in different assets, and that can be, money can become tied up. And in the past, things like this have happened, not to maybe to this extent, but he's got a way out of it. They're saying suggestions that this time that's not going to happen. New South Wales Supreme Court earlier this week announced that the largest outstanding claim against him from Blackwood Corporation of $28.4 million would have to be paid. So already he's got one on the table there, ordered by the court. So, look, all these issues, most of them are accusatory. We're not saying that that's the case for Nathan Tinkler at all. We're not wanting to put Newcastle fans suggesting to them that their team's in trouble at all. This is all just reports coming out. Potentially, this is something that we're going to have to keep an eye on down the road. And the other issue, of course, is when the Knights sold to Tinkler, it was precisely because they didn't have the funds to compete. So if the money, if the club goes back into the hands of the original owners or the members, well, what's going to happen to Wayne Bennett? What's going to happen to Darius Boyd? What's going to happen to Bo Scott? That's my question.
I'll make the Dragons.
Well, speaking of changes, we had some pretty big ones over the off-season already. Perhaps none bigger than Sonny Bill Williams returning to the Roosters. Israel Folau's back in rugby league, but we don't know where yet. And a host of others. Mick Potter, the new coach of the Tigers. Matt Elliott, the new coach of the Warriors. Scott Prince is up to Brisbane. Jeremy Smith over to Newcastle, speaking of the Knights. Brett Finch to Melbourne. James Seguiara to Penrith. And Bronson Harrison to the Saints. David Faelogo to Newcastle. And Tom Humble to Penrith. Guys, what do we make of all the off-season changes so far? Pete, I'll start with you.
Well, mate, the rumblings out of Tiger Town, I don't know whether they've quite died down yet. It was a very long, drawn-out process there with old Timmy Sheens and the final bring-in of Mick Potter. Players such as Bo Ryan and Chris Hyington making their way to the Sharks was a big surprise for a lot of people, particularly when was Bo Ryan announced that he'd signed a contract earlier in the year, and then all of a sudden he's not there. I really don't know what goes on with coaches and contracts. The old expression about there's only reason people sign a contract is so they've got something to rip up. sort of comes back to mind. I find the Warriors coaching position a weird one with Matty Elliott going over there. Had very limited success with Penrith, a little bit with Canberra, and I hope for the Warriors' sake that he's a very strong disciplinarian type. I would have liked to have seen maybe Brian Smith go over there for the sake of the Warriors and really hammer home what needs to occur for a team to get up to the top of the NRL. Sonny Bill Williams, I'll be watching his first game with great interest, the Roosters, as I'm sure everybody will be. Been a champion rugby league player, but then walked out on the Bulldogs about 10 weeks after signing a four-year deal. So I'm looking forward to the clash between the Bulldogs and the Roosters, which is quite early on in the season.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be around for that one. I think he's with his shoulder issue, round six is on his back.
Good point. That's unfortunate. But I'm sure they do play twice, so they'll be back there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Late in the year. Yeah, the Dragons, as usual, have bought up big and bought such a prominent player in Bronson Harrison. Pick up my sarcasm. the Eels, you know, they're chasing another big-name player in Israel Folau. Well, we'll see whether he gets him. All sorts of deals there going on as to whether they can fit him in under the salary cap or not, and looking for special dispensation from the NRL. Personally, I think if the NRL do that, then they're asking for trouble. I can't see him getting anywhere above 15th, even if Folau signs. Scotty Prince going to the Broncos is an interesting one, but should be looking forward to a great season next year, gentlemen.
Well, it's interesting you say round six, Tigers MS, because that is exactly the round where the Roosters take on the Bulldogs at the Sydney Football Stadium.
It's all about the drama then.
So we'll see. There's no shoulder charges, however.
No, yeah. That's right.
Tigers MS, what do you make of it, particularly, I guess, looking from a salary cap point of view? Pete mentioned it, Israel Folau. Is there room to move the salary cap?
Well, look, I think the salary cap, I think it was, I heard Todd Greenberg speaking today. I think, because there's a CEO's meeting on this week, they were saying that pretty much every club is working off a $5 million salary cap for this season. Mm. They don't know whether it's going to go up next season. If I were in charge and they said, okay, well, what would you do? I would say, okay, it's just going to go up gradually over the 5 years.
Yeah.
And then once that new deal's made, then it'll go up substantially and then gradually up again until the new deal. And just fold on itself like that. Look, I think that it's tough to get it right because the players obviously want more. They're threatening to boycott the All-Stars game, and I mean, half of them wouldn't want to play it anyway because it means nothing, except a reason to get injured. So, yeah, I think with the CEOs working it through and also Players Association, I'm sure they'll get in there and have their say, that they'll come to some arrangement which, you know, is kind of, which works out relatively for both of them. I think the players are looking at something like $5.5 million for the salary cap for this season. I don't think that's going to happen, but it may well happen 2014.
Feels like it's too late now. They should have made this change earlier, not long after they'd signed the deal. Potentially there was issues with getting the money over, which is why they didn't. But it feels like now that because of the delay, it would be unfair on teams that have already finalised their roster under the salary cap, while the teams are looking to extend. We'd have a real mismatch for 2013 if they did announce an extension any time in the near future that started immediately. I think you're right, it's going to have to be gradual and probably have to start in 2014, which means Israel Folau may end up at South Sydney, believe it or not, unless Parramatta let three players go, because that's how far over they are if they want to get Folau.
Well, look, as for Parramatta, I do think they will end up with Folau. Whether they have to get rid of three players or not, or they're just saying that because they want to you know, start chucking some pressure back on the NRL. I mean, look, to be honest, they made massive concessions for Sonny Bill when he came back. I mean, that started that whole business about Benji's manager saying, oh, well, he's going to ask for immediate release and go on one-year contracts and all that kind of thing. Mm. I think they've made a rod for their own back in letting him back in on that contract, on that year contract. Should have been longer. No one else is able to sign on the one-year deal like that, or no one else has before. As for the newer coaches, so Mick Potter, new Tigers coach, I think he's got a lot of work to do. He's got a good lineup, of course, but the issue with that he's going to have is the team attitude that he has to change.
Yeah.
Because they've gone through, obviously, the same coach for 10 years plus, and yeah, obviously some guys will be set in their ways, and it'll be interesting to see what it does to change that. The other one is Ricky Stewart. And I think he's probably going to get the best out of Jared Hayne, and the Eels are sitting on the edge of a new period in their history, and one that Stewart could actually be a real part of if he leads the Eels to a premiership eventually. Although I do have to say that at the moment, even a top eight appearance would be a universe away from where they are now.
I did want to say in regards to Mick Potter that he has already announced Benji Marshall will move back to 5'8", which means Brayton Astor will play in the back row and potentially Jacob Miller, the under-20s halfback, who starred in the West Tigers Premiership under-20s victory, may get a shot at the number 7 jersey there. And, of course, in regards to Ricky Stewart, they are building a team there. They've got a number of decent buyers. Obviously, Israel Folau would be the marquee man, but they have gotten in trouble in the past, and so have a few other teams like Penrith in paying big money for outside backs. Maybe a
can someone tell me why Parramatta has only $110,000 left on their salary cap, and they let Luke Burt go, and Nathan Hindmarsh, who's done half the work there for the last 10 years, and the overpaid Justin Paul. Someone is getting way too much money.
You'll probably hear that goes back to the Paul Osborne days. Whether that's 100% accurate or not,
it would probably make sense, to be honest.
But they're buying... I mean, we did do an episode on it during the year, looking at their players that are elsewhere and looking at the players they bought that have done nothing. And obviously, we probably didn't touch on the money that they'd spent as much as maybe we could have, but their off-season recruitment in the last, 3 years since they made the grand final has been the worst in the NRL by a long, long way.
Yep.
And obviously this year they've turned it a little bit around in the right direction, so hopefully that in another couple of years they'll be back on par, which is probably why they were so desperate to get the concession for this year, because they know, even though they're at the same amount as everyone else, essentially they're playing from behind. And with that, we're going to have to leave it. This was our NRL off-season show. And, of course, you can catch us online, www.paulygsports.com. We'll be throwing up information. We do NFL on there. We do a little bit of cricket. Links there to sites like Dane Eldridge's great sports site. He's covering a lot of cricket during the summer, as well as other news and views and blogs from around the sporting world. And also you can follow Tigers MS and I on Twitter. Tigers MS is at TigersMS78. I'm at Paulie G Sports. And before we go, of course, even though it is the off-season, we're going to do a world of sport. Pete, I'll start with you. What have you got for your off-season world of sport?
Well, no worries, guys. You'd have to have been hidden under a rock, basically, the last couple of years to not hear that Greece has been in major, major financial trouble. And this has come back to, high unemployment. And, of course, it comes back to, it affects sport as well. And, soccer football is the main sport in Greece. And it's affected their football clubs. And so they've had to resort to a couple of quite unique sponsors, the like of which I've not seen in the NRL, and I don't think I ever will. But I will give you a bit of a rundown on it. A guy called Yanni Batsiolis, chairman of the Vukafalas And I apologise to anyone who can understand Greek or Greek origin about my pronunciation. Our club that competes in the A1 Amateur League decided to turn to the local brothel owner for help. Said we had a very serious financial problem, so I thought, why not? Batsy Ollis, who has managed the club since 2010, told Reuters News Service from the team's home city of Larissa in central Greece.
So this is
a new sponsor.
A new sponsor or a new owner? Because we were just talking about owners earlier in
this. Just a new sponsor. They're not owned by a brothel. They're sponsored by a brothel. New sponsor, Sula Alevridou, a stocky 67-year-old woman who owns three luxury brothels, agreed to cover all costs, and the players now flaunt pink shorts and T-shirts and blazed with their brothels' logos, including Villa Erotica. The players couldn't believe
so
it.
Where do they go up for after-game functions?
Yeah. Batsiola said, estimating the club needs about €10,000 a year to survive. The first thing they said to me, half-joking, half-serious, is, what kind of bonuses will we get? He added, laughing. They're not the only club, however, to go down the path of the unconventional sponsor. Recently, a club called Vukafella, which is fighting a ban by local league organisers to wear the jerseys at matches played against Hercules, a team sponsored by the All Day Bar and Escorts Bar. Further north in the city of Trikala, the Paleopegas Club, many of whose players still attend school, have signed a deal with a funeral home. I think that's fantastic.
What have they undertaken to do?
The club has been buried in controversy ever since, but I think their finals campaign may go up in flames. It's a matter of survival, manager Eperis Vasulu told Greek radio, saying the team had not been able to secure any sponsorships since its debt crisis erupted here 3 years ago. Despite the macabre attire, have a listen to this. This could be for the West Tigers, guys. Black jerseys with the Undertaker's logo and a large white cross down the middle.
I hear that's what Tim Sheens will be wearing next year.
It could have been good for Para this year, guys. Vasulu said the players had taken it well and had even given an advantage over their opponents. Recounting a recent match, he said the goalkeeper kept crossing himself, but competitors lost every play. It seems they were too scared to come near us.
Oh, dear.
There you go, hey?
That's good. That's very good.
About done yourself, Pete.
It was pretty close to what the Sharks were sponsored by that fella a little while ago. I can't remember his name.
Fella. They did have a third party thing with a.
Yeah, I cannot remember his name though.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, it was good when they were sponsored by a garbage disposal company back in the 80s. A lot of St. George really enjoyed that.
Well, Tigers MS, that's a bit of big shoes to fill. What have you got for us?
It is. Well, I've got a story from Trinidad actually. They had a soccer game. And it was last week's match between the Presentation College San Fernando and the Shiva Boys Hindu College. In the, sorry, I just got to take a breath for the title of this. The Coca-Cola Secondary Schools Football League South Zone Intercol Final. anyway, it was brought to an end, premature end, when an over enthusiastic lineman had to be escorted off the premises after taking it upon himself to reprimand a pitch invader. After lineman Mr. Kevin Charles, which is an awesome Trinidadian name, denied the Shivers boys a penalty while they were trailing 2-1, one of their side supporters ran onto the pitch and let Mr. Charles know in no uncertain terms of his dissatisfaction with the decision. After beating the invader to the ground with his flag, the linesman was led away while officials handcuffed the offending spectator. Before Mr. Charles turned around for a second go at the handcuffed spectator, the game was promptly abandoned and the incident has since hit headlines across Trinidad and now the world, no doubt.
Find it on YouTube.
I was just thinking it would be good, perhaps in junior sport, if every referee could carry perhaps a taser. So to nail an unruly mum or dad running on, like little Billy should have got a penalty, bang, and they're out and it's a peaceful 10 minutes while they're recovering.
Great, mate.
Oh, very good. Well, guys, it is summer, therefore cricket season is upon us, of course, and the New South Wales bowler, Trent Copeland, who we might remember has played a bit of test cricket there, he's now moved back one cog to be named 12th man for the Blues a couple of weeks back against Victoria. Well, We spoke last year about some unlucky injuries. This has got to be right up there. He suffered a high-grain lateral ligament strain in his left ankle while carrying drinks out to his teammates.
I shouldn't laugh at people getting injured.
He's realised he's forgotten to get a helmet for ex-Aussie wicketkeeper Brad Haddon, and he attempted to turn on the stairs in the dressing room and end up in a crumpled heap. He said, "I'm a little bit embarrassed about it. He's caught plenty of stick from the support staff and also from my family and my wife, who is netballer Kim Green. She likes to think that I'm clumsy at the best of times. It's one of those things. I've run up and down those stairs so many times. Nothing was different. I was just probably caught up in the moment when it happened. Can't change it. Life goes on." So it reminds us, of course, Jack Whiten last year missing half of the NRL season with an injury, toe injury suffered while jumping on his backyard trampoline. And Manchester United defender Rio Ferdinand, who hurt his knee reaching for a phone while sitting on a couch. Geelong.
I'm ashamed Moore didn't do that.
Geelong Cats Geel Premiership winger Brad Ottens was putting up a hammock in his backyard when he fell from a ladder and impaled himself on a garden stake. And perhaps one of the best ones is Spanish goalkeeper Santiago Canizares, who in 2002 dropped a bottle of aftershave on his foot, severing a tendon and causing him to miss the O2 World Cup.
Oh,
that's cruel.
So, poor old Trent Copeland, well, he's got a six-week stint on the sideline and may not make it back until the Big Bash League. And apparently he's more of a red ball specialist anyway, so it could be the end of January before we see him in the spotlight again. But hope he gets well soon. That is World of Sport, and that is the show, NRL Live. Thank you, Pete, for coming on.
Absolute pleasure. It's been a very busy off-season.
It certainly has, and Tigers MS, thank you as always.
No worries, mate.
Have a great holidays, Christmas, New Year's. We'll see you in 2013. All the best,
guys. Yes, we will.
You will indeed.